Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship on this eve of Pentecost 6, and a special welcome to guests and visitors who are here present worshiping with us, as well as online, as also through our Facebook and website page as well. Good to have you worshiping with us. We pray that you have a blessed 4th of July weekend, a safe one, as we celebrate our reliance upon God entirely. We call it Independence Day, but it is kind of ironic when you think about it, because it's really not our independence, but it's our total dependence that we celebrate on Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Men's Bible study in person study will be this coming Wednesday, July 7th, also again the following week on July 14th. Hope you can join us for that. This coming week also, church council meeting at 1 p.m. on Thursday, July 8th. And then if you haven't had a chance yet, remember to pick up a printed copy of the prayer calendar and also of the church newsletter for the month of July. We're going to be having communion this evening, and we have the individual containers where there is the bread and the wine consecrated, and we'll all receive it together. Everyone here get one when they came in? Good. Looks like we're all covered on that. That's good to know. You've got one too, Bob? Excellent. Excellent. Well, I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. And so I would invite you to rise as you are able for Battle Hymn of the Republic as our entrance song. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
We sing together our scripture song, Word of God, Come Down on Earth.
Word of God, come down on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you call us as you did the disciples of old to go forth and bear witness to your life-giving gospel. Send us forth from this assembly by the power of your Holy Spirit to be the healing presence of Christ in the world. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is 123, and we will read it responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master.
As the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress.
So our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us.
For we have had more than enough of contempt.
Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Our second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Earlier today, I posted the children's message based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it is on our Facebook page, and would encourage you with grad kids or with children to watch that as you are able. "I am weak, thou art strong." I am weak, thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus, is my plea. And so this is what we pray, we plead for, that in our walk with Christ, we might learn the sufficiency of God's grace, that we might learn the wisdom that Paul is proclaiming as he ministers to that Christian community in that pagan city of Corinth. As Paul preaches that it is in our weakness that the strength and power of God is resting upon us. "I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Weak, but strong. Weak in and of myself because of my fallenness and my sinfulness, but strong and powerful indeed because of the amazing grace of God that is sufficient for sinners, for our redemption, for our salvation in Christ alone." A father was working on the yard with his elementary son. Elementary age, helping his father. There was a stone, a rather large stone, that the boy was trying to move, but it wouldn't budge even an inch. And the father walked over and said, "It looks like you're having some trouble with that stone." And the boy looked at his dad and he said, "I've tried everything. I can't get it to move no matter what." And the father looked at his son and he said, "You've tried everything?" "Yes, Dad, I've tried everything and I can't get it to move." The father looked at his son and he said, "I don't believe that you have exhausted all of your options. I don't believe that you have in fact tried everything. Because you see, son, you haven't asked me for help." You see, son, you see, daughter,
You haven't asked me for help. This is the word of the Lord. I am weak, but he is strong indeed. And he is always there for you and for me, just for the asking. The sermon text for tonight is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You're familiar with that story. Paul's thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan that is harassing him, keeping him from becoming conceited or self-reliant, and therefore boastful and proud about what he can accomplish in and of himself. Paul says that he prayed that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times, and God finally answered his prayer, not by removing the thorn in the flesh, but by giving him a new perspective about suffering and what it means to be weak and what it means to be strong indeed. Not independent from God or from each other for that matter, but interdependent with each other and totally 100% God reliant. For every breath we take, for every day that we enjoy here on earth, and by the grace of God, for all eternity. I am weak, but he is strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. To better understand what's going on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we need to back up a little bit. We need to see how 1 and 2 Corinthians are interconnected from chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians all the way through the end of 2 Corinthians. And so we back up a few chapters, and we notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that Paul is defending his apostleship. Now, why in the world would Paul need to do that? I mean, let's face it, it was right around 51 to 52 AD, when by the grace of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, that Paul was commissioned to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to that pagan city, that city that was full of licentiousness, sexual immorality, idolatry, one of the most unlikely places on the face of the earth, where the gospel would be preached, heard, and the church would be established. And yet it happened by the grace of God. Paul was there for 18 months, and the congregation got established there. In fact, you'll read in chapters 10, 11, and 12 of 2 Corinthians that Paul says, I betrothed you. In other words, I'm the one that introduced you, the bride of Jesus, to the bridegroom. And now you're questioning my apostleship. You're questioning my authority. You're questioning my call from Almighty God. And you're listening to these, well, they call themselves super apostles, but they're fakes. And they're preaching a fake gospel that isn't good news at all. Why in the world would you doubt my credentials and listen to what they're saying when all they want to do is take advantage of you? I guess I was too weak to do the same. You see, Paul reminds them that when he came to Corinth, he stayed with Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers, and that Paul provided for all of his needs financially, even though a laborer deserves their wage. Paul said, I didn't want to take any chance that you would question my motives, that I wasn't being sincere when I shared with you the gospel, the saving gospel of the grace of Almighty God, Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sin. And now Paul says, what's happening? Why would you listen to these imposters, to these fakes, when in fact you've been given the gospel of Jesus Christ from the beginning? Paul says, it would be foolish on my part to boast about myself, for me to show you my credentials. And then Paul says, but permit me to do a little bit of arrogant boasting, if you will. I mean, he's going to be sarcastic. He's going to lay it all out there. And he's going to say, so these super apostles that pride themselves in their greatness, that take advantage of you, that slap you around. Yes, I was too weak to do the same. Forgive me. Are they Hebrews? So am I. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, Paul says. I was educated, Pharisee of Pharisees. I persecuted the people of the way. You know my story. What about my sufferings, Paul says? Why would somebody who is just an imposter, you know, like Satan, the angel of light, he disguises himself, why would I, Paul says, if I was only trying to make a fortune for myself, if I was only looking at taking advantage of you, lying to you, why in the world would I be suffering as I am? And then Paul recites that litany of suffering. 5 times, he says, I received the 40 lashes last month. 3 times, Paul says, I was beaten up with rods. 3 times, Paul says, I was shipwrecked and almost lost at sea. I was stoned and left for dead. Hardships, difficulties, sleepless nights, hungry, thirsty. It was a mess, Paul says. All you have to do is look at my credentials, my portfolio, if that's what's going to convince you. But that would be foolish. Because you know what I've been preaching from the beginning, Paul says. Christ crucified. The Jews, they want science. The Gentiles, they want wisdom. But I preach Christ. Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to you who are being saved, Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God. He's your sanctification. He's your justification. He's your salvation. That's what I've been preaching from the beginning. And so Paul is reminding them of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Consider your call, Paul says. Do you know why God called you? Not because you were so outstanding. In the eyes of the world, you're a moron. That's the Greek word, moroneo or moronic. But God chooses what is foolish in the world, what is of no account in the world, so that there can be no doubt, Paul says, that whether I'm doing the preaching or someone else is doing the preaching, that your salvation is 100% totally the grace of God. It is the work of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and my sins. Paul says, you drove me to this. You drove me to this foolish diatribe of self-boasting. But if I want to boast about something, well, this is what I would want to flaunt. You see, when Paul was converted, when Paul went from being a persecutor of the way to being a proclaimer of the way, it was then that the Jews were seeking to kill him. And Paul says, you know what I had to do? Because they were standing guard day and night, 24/7, at the front gate, watching for me so that they could get me and put me to death. So what did I do? Coward that I am. They had to lower me in a basket at night over the wall. Yeah, that's what they had to do. Because all I could imagine was saving my own skin. You want to boast about something? Paul said there's only one thing you can boast about, and that's Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we can boast about. He said, I don't got anything to brag about myself. And then he says, I know somebody that got a revelation. The third heaven, paradise. You know what Jesus promised to that repentant thief on the cross? he doesn't even name himself. He just simply says, I know a man that got all these visions and stuff. And he would have so much that he could personally brag about. But to keep this man, to keep me from being too elated and proud and conceited, he gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. And I did what any follower of Jesus would do. I prayed to the Father in the name of the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. Remove this thorn in the flesh. Remove this thorn in the flesh. And what did God do? He said, you're going to hold on to that thorn in the flesh. In fact, when you got your eyesight back, Paul, I told Ananias, I'm going to show him how much he is going to suffer for my name. Don't be surprised when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever that there will be suffering in the path. Just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus, if you please. Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal as though something strange were happening to you. No, Paul said, what I learned is that God spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient, my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, oh my goodness, then now I really do have something to boast about. My total 100% reliance upon Jesus. I'm going to boast about my sufferings, my calamities, my persecutions. I'm going to boast about all of that because that will show others how weak I am. And when they see how weak I am, then the power and the strength of Jesus will rest on me. That's what Paul is getting at in those final chapters of 2 Corinthians. Chapters 10, 11, and 12, Paul wants people to realize that there's only one person who can substantiate our credentials, our call, our salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior. The way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father, no one, except by Him. God's grace is sufficient, always sufficient. What does that look like? Well, there's a gal by the name of Kristin, Kristin Frisovich, Canadian. She's at home with Jesus now. But this is a little bit of Kristen's story. When she was 27 years old, she was diagnosed for the second time with cancer. And the doctor said, it's inoperable, Kristen. Kristen always had a deep faith in Jesus, and she had this contagious joy. In fact, she, as a Canadian, was a songwriter and a singer. And she instilled this joy, this faith in the saving grace of God with all that she met, all the people through her music and through the words. And she said, when the doctor told me that my cancer had come back, that it was inoperable, she said, this is what I did. She said, I prayed. She said, and I cried. And she said, and I pleaded with the Lord. I pleaded. And then I said, I don't understand, but I trust you. I don't understand, but I trust you. And I know that your ways are way higher than mine. I ask only that you reveal yourself to me and that you give me your comforting grace to carry this cross. And so she opened her Bible, and she came to Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, as higher as the heavens are. My word does not return empty. And you, my child, you will go out in joy, and you will know my peace. Kristen, even though she could not understand, she submitted and surrendered to the truth that Paul is proclaiming. My grace is sufficient for you. When you are weak, then you are strong indeed. And so, Kristen, this was in 2011 that she received the news of the return of the cancer. And she went home to be with the Lord in 2013. And the last thing that she said was a song. With all the strength that the grace of God could muster within her, Kristen said to her husband, Mike, she sang a song that our joy is found always in the sufficient grace of God. God's grace is manifested not in all of our accomplishments, not in all of our self-acclaim, but in our pathetic weakness, so that we are totally, 100% reliant upon God and his mercy for sinners. This is the testimony of Paul. This is the testimony of Kristen Frisosovich. You know the name Arthur Ashe? Arthur Ashe was a phenomenal tennis player, a black athlete that was not able to compete or enter into some things because of what was happening in our country in the 1960s, for example. He started playing tennis when he was 7 years old, and everybody would tease him. They would call him skinny. They would call him bones. But he was amazing when it came to serving and returning and volleying. In fact, he got a full ride scholarship to UCLA and helped UCLA win the NCAA championship in tennis. It was in 1975 that he made it to the finals of Wimbledon. And he was playing Jimmy Connors. And Jimmy Connors had not lost a set throughout that entire tournament. Arthur Ashe beat Jimmy Connors. In 1983, he had a heart attack, and his professional career, if you will, as a tennis player, was cut short. And in 1988, he was diagnosed as having AIDS from tainted blood that he had received, a transfusion when he had had open heart surgery. Arthur Ashe, who spoke against apartheid in South Africa, who advocated for the least, for children, so that they would have the ability to play tennis. Arthur Ashe was asked, "Why you?" He said, "Why me?" He said, "Do you realize that there are 50 million people that pick up a tennis racket? That there are 5 million people that actually learn to play tennis? That there are like 500,000 that will enter into tournament play, and about 50,000 that will make it onto the circuit? Do you realize that there are 50 people that will make it to Wimbledon?" and only 4 to the semifinals, and only 2 to the finals. When I was holding that cup in 1975, I didn't ask, why me? And so now that I'm suffering and struggling and in pain, why should I ask, why me? Why me when we have troubles and problems? Why me when we have successes? Why me? Marrying an amazing woman and having an amazing child? Winning at Wimbledon? I didn't ask why me when my good Lord Jesus gave me successes. Why should I ask why me when I encounter the thorn in the flesh? You see, the testimony of Paul, the testimony of Kristen, the testimony of Arthur Ashe. You want me to boast, Paul says? Jesus. That's my only boast. Jesus. The one who died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. The one who prepares a place for me, an eternal place in heaven for me and for you. God's grace is always sufficient. You see, on this 4th of July weekend, when people want to be mindful of our independence, we followers of Jesus are listening to the words of Paul, and we're celebrating our total, absolute reliance, not upon ourselves, but upon Jesus, the name which is above every name. There was a king. He had this beautiful diamond. It was big, it was beautiful, it was flawless. And he celebrated the goodness of that diamond. And then it got a scratch, a blemish. And the king, he searched everywhere to find someone who could work with jewels and gems and could get rid of that blemish, that scratch, but no one could be found that could correct it. And so then there was this man who came to the king and said, I can take care of it. In fact, I can make it more beautiful than it ever was. And the king trusted him and said, then please do so. And so he carved out on that big, beautiful diamond a rosebud. And with that scratch, he made a stem. Beautiful indeed, what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does with our weaknesses, with our sin, with our imperfections, because he loves you. That's why he died for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you and I could spend all eternity with him. Not self-reliant, but totally 100% reliant upon the grace of Almighty God. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Yes! That's our prayer, my friends. Just a closer walk with Jesus. Grant it, Lord, if you please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our song of the day, Jesus Loves Me. I invite you to join with me in our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell.
On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins,
known and unknown,
things done and left undone.
Uphold us by your Spirit,
so that we may live and serve you in newness of life,
to the honor and glory of your holy name,
through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
and also with you.
And so we share God's peace as we are able today and in the days ahead. God's peace. Congregation may be seated. We won't be passing our offering baskets, but there's a basket in the back, and there are other ways too that people choose to support the kingdom work of God. And so we thank all of you who invest yourselves, because remember what the Corinthians and the Macedonians did. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave the tithes and talents that the Lord had provided. Our communion hymn, Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Holy God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Healer, in the harmonious world of your creation, the plants and animals, the seas and stars were whole and well in your praise. When sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await that day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life. Send your Spirit upon us and this meal. As grains scattered on the hillside become one bread, so let your church be gathered from the ends of the earth, that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you now to take your bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive the blessing. Now may the assurance of our Lord's resurrection and the promise of his coming again strengthen you in faith and keep you in hope unto everlasting life. In God's peace. Amen. We continue with our closing prayers.
Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Father, thank you for your prophets, even when their words are hard. Thank you for your all-sufficient grace, even when it doesn't remove suffering. Thank you for making us your emissaries and missionaries, even when the world holds you in contempt. Thank you, and deal patiently with us, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You commissioned Ezekiel to speak to your people, and your son chose the 12 disciples to spread the gospel. Bestow your spirit upon the church so it may speak words of warning and grace to all people. Grant that many are brought to repentance, faith, and redemption in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You have given us this good land as our heritage. Make us always remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Save us from violence, discord, confusion, and every evil course of action. Give us what outward prosperity may be your will, but above all things, give us faith in you, that our nation may glorify your name and be a blessing to all peoples. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Keep our military personnel and first responders in your care. Equip them to secure and further the blessings of peace, justice, and liberty. Help us to support and encourage their families until they are reunited. Heal all whose lives have been shattered by the violence of war. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
St. Paul prayed that his thorn in the flesh might be removed. We pray for all who suffer, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for Anthony Woodford, for Barb Stephenson, for Gary Engel, for Judy Cottle, for Dan Berklin, Paige Johnson, Julie Blanchard, Kelly Stoyles. We pray for Steve Johnson, for Leroy's sister Elaine, and for all that we name silently in our hearts.
Heal them according to your will. Give them confidence in your grace, which is sufficient for their needs. Keep all for whom we pray in close communion with those who love them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Most Holy Father, we praise you for your never-failing mercy. We entrust to that mercy all our departed loved ones. Wipe away the tears of all who grieve. Keep us close to your heart throughout our lives. Support us with your grace and heal us with your forgiving love. Lead us by your Spirit into the kingdom won for us by your Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we give you thanks for the sacredness of holy Christian marriage. We pray your blessings, Lord, upon Don and Peg Holton. We thank you for the witness that they bear as husband and wife. And we pray for all Christian marriages, Lord, that we might continue to celebrate your goodness as husbands and wives, as parents, loving our children and serving our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear and graciously answer our prayers, dear Lord, as it is best for us and most glorifies your holy name.
Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our closing song, Sent Forth by God's Blessings. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.